Welcome to the Brad and Rage podcast.
Is that what we're going to call it?
It's officially official. We have a podcast.
We do. Is it the Brad and Rage podcast? Like, do we need to pump the brakes and decide on a title?
Maybe fans will give a suggestion.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, let's hear from you guys. We're going to talk about life and everything that comes.
I'm really curious to hear what we're going to talk about exactly because, Brad had the idea to start this thing, and I said, sure, I'll play along. And he has a topic for this first vlog that I have a hint at what we're going to talk about, but I feel a little vulnerable, especially now we're actually recording this for our vlog on YouTube. And
which is probably where most people have come from.
I would imagine, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't imagine anybody is listening to this that just organically found us on the podcast world.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I'm feeling a little vulnerable, but it...
But you have no reason to.
Okay.
And that's why... Well, so I feel like we've been living a lie recently with our vlog.
Ooh.
Because in the past, we've pretty much shared everything in our life on the vlog.
Yes, that's true. I mean, I can't think of anything that we've held back.
Exactly. Except for this topic. And I want to talk about it because, like, I need help. You need help. I'm sure tons of other couples are going through this. Tons of other people are going through this. Because I read today, back in 2015, the Mental Health Institute or the Institute of Mental Health had a statistic that either 7 or 9% of the population has at least one major depressive or depression episode a year.
Which is, I guess, surprising when you put it that way. But then if you think about it, 7 or 9% is pretty low.
I don't think so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess it's like 1 in 10 people you encounter.
Yeah, exactly.
Approaching it anyway.
That's like the same as, couples that struggle with infertility.
Yeah,
'cause that's like 1 in 8.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost the same statistics.
Yeah, that's true. It's right in between. so if you haven't figured out, this podcast topic is going to be somewhat heavy. So if this is our very first podcast,
just going straight for the jugular.
Yeah, exactly. Don't expect it to be lighthearted and fun necessarily. But if you follow us on YouTube, you know that this pregnancy hasn't been easy for me in many ways. But in probably the biggest way is what we're going to talk about today.
Yes. So Rachel has... And she's been very vocal about her anxiety in the past. Like you've pretty much have always, since you were a little kid, really.
Definitely. Always struggled with anxiety. I don't know that I talk about it that much on the vlog, it seems like.
No, but you haven't like
I've definitely not alluded to it.
Exactly.
So yeah, I'm no stranger to anxiety.
But yet. I mean, so you did go through a rough patch of postpartum depression.
Correct.
Which you talked about a little bit in your pregnancy updates.
I glossed over it.
Exactly.
And
people
I
would comment.
That.
Yeah, people would comment and ask about it, and you kind of just glossed over
really.
That as well.
Yeah, exactly. I did have one pregnancy, or it was like a postpartum update that I mentioned the fact that I was struggling with postpartum depression and that I was being treated and that it was better. And that's kind of all I said.
Right.
And I was really nervous to even talk about it because it's a topic that can be somewhat controversial. And I guess part of it is because people that are close to me kind of don't believe in it. And so for me to be open about it potentially opens up the possibility that people that I'm close to view me differently. I guess, because I'm taking a medication, which is how I've treated my postpartum depression. A lot of people asked, how I handled it.
Because they were probably, looking for the okay to take medication.
See, that's the thing, is, by not talking about it fully, by not talking about it at all, you're making it taboo. And by not talking about it fully and just kind of glossing over it, you're still kind of making it taboo.
Yeah, totally.
So that was my, I had a regret about that. But yeah, so that was a couple of months, I think, that were pretty hard.
And I think the reason why I am so adamant about, you know, telling people your story, because I don't think that there's anything that you need to be ashamed of or hide.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's anything to be ashamed of. But at the same time, it's like you can't help but feel a little bit vulnerable. I don't know. It's like we kind of talked about this briefly earlier, and I guess I'll let you ask the question about, like,
well, I guess, like, before, I still don't really, like, truly understand what depression is, because
maybe we should back up and then talk about how this came up again.
Yeah,
because we've found ourselves in a similar situation now that we were in my postpartum months. But I had like some relief in between there. Like I had postpartum depression for a few months and I was medicated, and then I eventually went off of that medication and felt good, and then became pregnant again in January. And we think that's its own story. So I guess how long ago did I start feeling off?
Probably like a month before I left for my 2-week active duty reserve thing.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely well before we moved into this house. Mm-hmm. And it snuck up on me the same way postpartum depression did, in the sense that, like, I was feeling not myself for a week or two before I realized what was going on.
And when you say you felt not like yourself, can you describe that?
Yeah. And I think depression can be different for everybody. Like I said, I'm normally a really anxious person and I get stressed really easily, but feeling depressed is not something that I'm used to. So what it was like for me was I didn't want to be around people that I normally really want to be around. I'm normally like a really family-oriented person and I want to be around my parents and my extended family and I want everybody to be together. And I was all of a sudden finding myself feeling reclusive and not wanting to even go upstairs to eat dinner with my parents. And I hate saying it because it's like, it feels like shameful and it's just not me at all. So that was kind of the biggest thing, was that I just didn't want to be around people.
And you like never felt like you were going to hurt yourself or anything like that?
Fortunately, it never got to that point. I think that is a more severe symptom of depression is when you, so I talked to my doctor about it and I explained how I was feeling and that I just felt sad. And like the other thing is I would just like start crying. I couldn't like control that I just would get sad about whatever and start crying. And so I was describing like all of these symptoms to my doctor and he was like, well, with your case, I'm comfortable with, I told him I wasn't keen on just like starting a medication right off the bat. I thought there were some things I could do, like exercising more or maybe improving my diet, and try to like address it from that perspective rather than just jumping straight into a medication. And when I explained my symptoms, I said, do you think that's wise or do you think that I'm one of the people that you would really recommend starting a medication? And he said, no, I think it's reasonable to try to manage this other ways. And I said, what does a person say that makes you immediately suggest medication? And he said exactly what you just said. Like
thoughts of hurting yourself.
Exactly. The world would be better off without me. Those types of feelings where you just don't think you should even be here anymore. Like you have no benefit to this world.
Right.
And I had touches of like I don't feel like I'm benefiting this world, but I never felt like hurting myself. And that was, I think I'm really fortunate that it didn't really manifest that way, but it's not to say it wouldn't, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. It could progress to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That would be bad.
Yep. But this is something called peripartum depression, apparently it's a real thing. And I don't know what happens to me when my hormones change like this, but something is imbalanced and I've had a history of it. And so I was probably at much higher risk of something like this happening. And I'm a person that needs to be watched closely, I guess, postpartum too, because this is just something I'm prone to.
Yeah, exactly. I guess before I, you know, kind of realized the whole, like, you know, serotonin levels and being predisposed to depression.
Family history.
Yeah. You know, like as an outsider looking in, it's like you have such a good life. You know, we don't struggle for money. We never, if there's something that you want, you get it. We're in a happy marriage. Mm-hmm. I would hope you mm-hmm. would say that.
Mm-hmm.
You have a great job. Mm-hmm. You have a great family. Like not just our immediate family, but extended family. So it's like, how can a person with such a great life, you know, feel depressed?
Right. Good question. Yeah, that part's frustrating, because when you put it that way, it almost makes a person that feels depressed feel worse.
Yeah.
Like feel guilty about feeling depressed. Because we have so much, and that's why depression doesn't necessarily make sense. Like, I have everything I want in life. I can't imagine our life being better.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You're also a doctor.
Yes.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's true. That's my profession. Yeah, so it's this weird dichotomy of having the perfect life that you've imagined for yourself and then feeling like this overwhelming feeling of sadness at the same time, and then this guilt about feeling sad when there's people out there that have it so much worse than you. And so that's really the strange thing about depression, is it doesn't matter like what level of happiness you feel like you've achieved or what the keys
level of success.
Yeah, success and like the keys to happiness of, you know, feeling taken care of and sheltered and fed and, you know, just like having your basic needs met and having a wonderful family dynamic. Those things can't save you from depression, I guess, is the point. And so you can't look at somebody's life from the outside and know that they're mentally stable, I guess.
Right.
And that can, I mean, we have the, how would you describe the video where I broke down and so I had a video where
got super emotional.
Got emotional in a scenario that some people didn't understand why I would be upset. That's something that can feel magnified to somebody who has depression, I guess, or somebody that has anxiety. Things that otherwise wouldn't matter can make, like putting the meat in the freezer. When
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So we had a HelloFresh delivery a couple of days ago, and I absentmindedly put the meat in the freezer rather than the refrigerator. And Rachel just kind of went off on me. Like almost started crying.
I think I did cry. Well, it was just like we needed to cook dinner now, and then I had to worry about thawing out the meat, whereas it would have, and I was like ready for the meat step.
Yeah.
And it was frozen. And so I just couldn't. It's stupid.
It's pretty silly. Yeah.
It's very silly. But I don't know. It's just a moment I wasn't feeling that great to begin with. And then something happened on top of it that I don't know if that's even a depression thing or a pregnancy thing.
Or both.
I'm kind of new to this whole deal. So, right. But that things can send you into a tailspin, I guess, that just kind of wreck your day. And it was really hard when Brad was gone because he's kind of like my rock, and he was gone for 2 weeks for the reserves. And so I really struggled through that.
But yeah, that was really hard being away and getting like a text message or a phone call about how you were feeling, and like I couldn't do anything.
Yeah, it was not good.
And I like couldn't tell your family because, you know, they didn't know and you wouldn't want me to tell anybody.
Right. Up to this point, nobody knows about this besides Brad and my sister-in-law, Susan.
And your doctor.
And my doctor.
And your nurse.
And the nurse that I called, too.
Well, do you feel better now getting it off your chest?
Feel better?
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel worse.
That's good.
Yeah. I feel like this is going to be one of those things that opens a can of worms, and I don't know if it will be via the vlog or this very first podcast that we put out. And I doubt anybody's going to listen to it, but
yeah, I think we're pretty safe.
Yeah. I feel like this is something that I like way more people struggle with than I realize, even people I know or people that I feel like I know via YouTube, like of all of our subscribers that regularly comment and interact with us. I feel like probably a lot more people struggle with this than
yeah. Well, think. If we have 50,000 subscribers and it's almost 10%, that's a lot of people.
That's like 5,000.
So, yeah, I mean, gosh, that's a lot.
Sad. I mean, it's sad. I told Brad, this is something I have bouts of, and maybe this is, I'm heading in a direction where this is going to be more a part of my life. I don't know. Like maybe taking a serotonin balancing medication is going to be something I'm on long term. Maybe it's just this peripartum time frame that I'm going to be out of whack, so to speak. And I'll recover from it once everything's better. But where was I going with that?
That's a lifelong journey.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. I definitely have the family history there, but
right.
I guess I'm somewhat new to this part of it. I'm not used to feeling this kind of thing, so it kind of caught me off guard, I guess, and took me a while to recognize it. So maybe I guess this could help somebody else.
Yeah, hopefully.
Realize, I mean, that this isn't a normal thing to feel.
You know, hopefully, like, because most of our subscribers are female, obviously. So maybe they'll just grab their husband to listen to this. And like the way that you describe it is how they feel. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that can open their husband's eyes.
Or maybe their husband will grab their wife and say, listen to this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Vice versa.
Maybe this is why you're crying all the time.
Yeah. Or maybe some people just cry all the time. What has it been like from, I guess, from your perspective, just having me, do you feel like I've seemed different?
Oh, yeah. You're a 180 totally different person.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
It is really sad. Yeah, especially because I don't feel like there's anything that I could do to, like, help you.
Yeah. That's really sad.
Yeah, it is sad.
Do you think everybody else knows?
No, because you act normal. Like when other people are around, you act normal.
Okay. I can put on a good front.
Yeah, exactly.
I was having trouble. Like the last week we lived with my parents before we moved, and that was a stressful week anyway. And that kind of compounds things, moving and life stress and work and raising kids. But I remember, like, my mom texting me. I had to take the kids to a doctor's appointment. And normally I would tell her, like, we're going to this doctor's appointment. If you're free, you know, you can come with us if you want. It helps me. She kind of likes going to those things, too. And I didn't even mention this doctor's appointment because, again, like, the less interaction with people I have, I feel like the better I feel. I don't know. It sounds terrible saying that, but, like, even, like, anticipating family coming into town makes me really anxious. Like, family that I normally would really for sure want to be around. So anyway, I didn't invite her to this doctor's appointment. And while I was at the doctor's appointment, she texted me and said, where are you? Because we were living with them. And I said, oh, I had to take the kids to this doctor's appointment. And she texted me back and said, I feel like you don't like me anymore.
Oh.
I know. And so I just started crying. I was in the waiting room at the doctor and I just started crying because I was like, I don't feel like myself. I'm not doing well at, like, even just faking these interactions right now because it's just not where I want to be. And it was just, that was.
So that, was that like your turning point for you actually finally bringing it up to your doctor?
Yes. Well, that was my turning point for realizing what was going on and realizing that this wasn't just in my head. Like, I'm projecting this too. And that's when I texted you, too. I think that was when I texted you, like, I don't feel like myself. And that was when I just kind of really opened up the conversation to you first. And you suggested talking to my doctor mm-hmm. and possibly a therapist, which I haven't ruled out.
Well, and honestly, that's kind of why I wanted, or I thought of the idea of a podcast as well, because this is kind of serving as couples therapy for us.
Yeah, definitely.
And hopefully other people will be along for the ride and learn from us.
Yeah. I feel like we're really good at communicating, but there are some things that you could probably communicate better. And I said, mean we. Not, did I say you?
What are you talking about? What can I communicate better?
Like when you were gone for 2 weeks, you didn't do a great job of like saying that you missed us and or just like telling me how you felt.
Yeah, I'm really bad at sharing my feelings.
Yeah, expressing your emotions.
Yeah, and that's just kind of the way. Not that it's an excuse, but you know, it's kind of how I was raised. Like our family didn't really tell each other, you know, that we loved each other.
Right.
Like, you know, when I called my mom once a week on my way home from work on Wednesdays, I call my mother and I always tell her that I love her, you know, before we hang up. But yeah, we don't talk about our feelings.
Right. I guess that's the difference. And so it's not something that comes naturally to you or that you think to do automatically.
Exactly.
You do it in response, which is nice. I mean, at least you do that, but. So hearing, like, even just now, hearing that, like, you felt like I've done a total 180 these last couple of months or however long it's been, mm-hmm. like, that's total news to me.
Well,
I didn't know that.
That's not something I can point out.
You can't?
Feel like, no, I don't feel like I could, like, that would just, doesn't that make you feel worse? Like, you're already depressed.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess if maybe you noticed it before I realized it, which you did in the case of postpartum depression, I didn't know what was going on and or I didn't realize I was depressed until you said, like, you're not yourself. I remember that conversation like it was yesterday. Like, we were in bed and it was nighttime and I don't remember what led up to the point where you were like, you're not yourself. But that was, like, you pointing that out helped me realize this isn't just in my head. I'm not acting myself either, I guess. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
So I don't want you to discourage people from telling, like, if you have a friend that is done a 180 and is not acting themselves, I don't want you to be discouraged to say, like, is everything okay? You're not acting yourself.
Yeah.
Because maybe that's going to be their, I don't know.
Yeah. No, and I mean, that's, so being in the military, we get suicide awareness training like once a quarter, and kind of like the big things that they harp on is, you know, don't be afraid to ask a person if they're going to harm themselves. Signs to look out for and be like, yeah, personality change, giving away possessions, doing drugs, drinking all the time, stuff like that. Just kind of like big red flags.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you should. If a person's acted different, ask them.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, are they going to be truthful with you? Who knows?
Who knows?
Well, I think this is a great place to stop our first podcast.
Yeah.
Are we going to use this as our first podcast?
I guess.
I think we should.
Okay.
So most weeks won't be this heavy of a topic.
I was about to say, we have a lot to talk about that's a lot more upbeat.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about fertility, struggling with infertility, trying to conceive.
Yeah,
the actual IVF process.
We had a whole year of run of the mill, so to speak, trying to conceive. That we had we did all kinds of different things. So we can talk about.
So tell your friends, like, if they're married and
trying to have a baby,
or even if they're just married and they don't have a baby yet, maybe they are struggling with infertility and you just don't know.
Yeah.
So tell them about us.
Right.
Hey, check out my friends, Brad and Rach.
Yeah, so share us with whoever you think would benefit from hearing
a little bit of humor.
Sounds conceited.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, we have heart of teachers. We want to teach people. Hopefully they can laugh and learn with us.
Yes. And we can also learn from you all.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
All right. Well, have a great day.
Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.